The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Every once in a while, we'll have a mass intention requested for one of the saints, or we will have an opportunity to consider a particular intention for a mass, and I'll have to tell people that you don't need to request masses for the saints because they're already in heaven. I think saints, though, happen to be quite a stumbling block for us as Catholics and for the rest of the Christian world, because I think our relationship to saints is not very well understood by most people. And as I go around and do the work of ecumenism and interreligious affairs, I discover that there is a lot of misunderstanding about the relationship that we have with saints in our church. I think the best way to explain this is to ask you if you have experienced the loss of someone that you love very much. I know I've worked as a priest for 21 years, and I've worked with families who have experienced this kind of grief almost on a weekly basis. But it wasn't until I lost my own father, probably 6 years ago now, 6 or 7 years. It wasn't until that particular time that I understood what that really felt like. When you lose someone like that, who held a significant place in your life, and that person is gone, and every once in a while you'll go back to kind of a pattern of a life that you knew previously, and part of that pattern included these people that we love, and we suddenly realize they're not here. It's not that they're gone, it's just that they're not here. And we realize that we've got to understand life in a new way at this particular point. After my dad died, my brothers and I sat around the living room and we said to ourselves, well, now we're it, right? The new generation. And that's a feeling that you won't know until it happens to you, where you realize that now, whatever it was that those people that went before us, whatever we relied on them to do, now depends on us. And when you consider those people that you've lost, that you love very much, you realize, I hope you realize, that there are times during the day you still talk to them. I do. We find ourselves still living in the context of our own lives very much in relationship to those people who we can't see, but that we know are there. Because in Christ Jesus, there is no such thing as death. And for those who were faithful to him, there is eternal life. And that eternal life is something that we all hope to go to one of these days. We all hope to experience that. That first reading today, I know if you're probably a teenager or younger, that first reading doesn't do anything at all for you. Because I remember listening to that reading when I was a kid, and I would say, if that's all heaven is like, I am not interested. I don't want to stand around a throne and praise all day long. But as you get older, I think you realize the value of that image. Here are all these people who have found themselves having gone through a period of trial, it says, and their robes have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. They have shared in the sacrifice of Christ, and they are now victorious over death because of his benefit, not because of theirs necessarily, but because Christ paved the way and made it possible. Well, if we still have relationship with these people, and we know that we don't have to pray for them because they are with God already, the project that we have of praying for the dead who still need to be with God, that's tomorrow, and it's called All Souls Day. And I hope everybody can still try to come to a Mass tomorrow, because in many ways, that's the really important day where we have to remember all the people who have gone before us that still rely on us for our prayers so that they can be with God forever. But today we celebrate the life of the church, all those people who have gone before us, whose jobs we have now inherited. The reason we need to pray to them still is not for their sakes, but it's for ours. We need to know how to move forward. There have been 100 times I've thought to myself, if I could ask my dad what he would do in this situation. And we do the same thing with the saints. If you have been confirmed, you chose a particular saint to be your companion for the rest of your life. I hope you have an ongoing conversation with that saint. Hopefully that saint has something to do with you. My confirmation saint was Saint Anthony of Padua. I used to be mortified of speaking in public, scared to death. In fact, I would get stomach cramps that were so bad after I would canter at a Mass or after I would give a homily. I still get hiccups after the end of every homily. See, even today, I find myself, this is the one thing that makes me so nervous. I say a little message to St. Anthony. I need you standing right here next to me. And he always comes through. He was known as the great preacher. The fascinating thing, and I was confirmed when I was very young, actually in third grade. And the fascinating thing to me then was that when they dug him up, you know how some saints are incorruptible? That means that decay never touched their body. Well, they dug him up, and guess what the only thing was that was left? His tongue. And as a third grader, I was so fascinated by this. I'm like, he's got to be my confirmation saint. For the rest of my life, I'm going to have this tongue, you know? But I have an ongoing relationship with this saint. Not that I worship him or not that I hold him in any higher esteem than I would hold my dad. Because saints are human beings who did it right, that's all. And by the grace of God, they were able to accomplish this in the same way that you and I can do it right, and by the grace of God, we can accomplish this. It's not a mystery, the Christian life. It is accessible and accomplishable by all people. You and I are not saints yet, probably, but we are on the way. And we can ask all these saints that have gone before us to help us to know that path. In the gospel today, Jesus gives a beautiful teaching. This is a teaching, this is a gospel that is often commonly chosen for funerals because I think it causes us to look beyond this life. And in a particularly beautiful way, Jesus, who is God and man, I wouldn't go so far as to say he lived his life on this earth with 1 foot on the earth and 1 foot in heaven, but he certainly had an insight to know what came next. And he's trying to comfort people in their state as they are right now in their lives. He's trying to tell people that what they're going through at this particular moment, it has power, it has benefit, it has value, and that there is a corresponding reward to everything that you're willing to sacrifice right now. And that is the path to sainthood. It is possible that he gave this homily many times. Some One account says it was on a plain, one of accounts says it was on a mountainside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. He probably, if you have a really good homily, you take it to a number of different places, I would imagine. It's like a concert tour, right? Jesus had a really good message. He's like, okay, I can't just give it to this little crowd. I'm going to give it to everybody that I meet. And so he gives them examples of their lives right now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's all of us. Blessed are they who mourn. That's all of us. Blessed are the meek. Hopefully, that's all of us. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's called the human condition. Blessed are the merciful and the clean of heart and the peacemakers. These are all things that we should be trying to be. And from his insight from this world into the next world, into his kingdom, which he knows very well, he's able to say that if you accomplish these things and if you are willing to live through them now, that there will be rewards. You will have the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted. You will inherit the land. You will be satisfied. You will be shown mercy yourselves. You will see God and be called children of God, and your reward will be great in heaven. He didn't say this just to the 12 apostles. He didn't say this just to the people he knew who were going to die for their faith. He didn't say this to people who he thought had unusual gifts of holiness. He said this to everybody. As he speaks to us today on this solemnity of All Saints, we tend to place saints on a pedestal. And I suppose we do need to give thanks to God in a special way for the accomplishments that they were able to show in their lives. They had particularly unusual gifts at their own time. If you were to do a summary of what those gifts were, I think you would say they turned toward others with their gifts, with their energy, with whatever God gave them. They used it in service. They were not people who thought of themselves. You know, you go into public today and everywhere you go, all you see is people taking pictures of themselves. Have you thought about that? What does that say about our culture? That the selfie is now indicative of who we are. It's very strange. And at the same time, I think we need to appreciate who we are. But this social media thing is just like this download of too much information, and it's all about me. When you look at the saints and they wrote beautiful spiritual works, reflections, it wasn't about them, it was about God. There was a turning away from self that produced this generation after generation of saints who we celebrate today. We need to listen to God in a particular way that God calls us out of ourselves to become the saints of this generation and of the next. Because the church relies on us in the same way that my dad had a very particular place in my life. And the saints have a very particular place in the life of our church. You have a very particular place in God's plan. And God's plan is that each one of us become saints. Not people who set themselves apart and have their eyes looking at heaven and their hands folded all the time. People who go through the life that they've been given, who stay faithful, and who use those gifts for other people. We call upon the intercession of all the saints today on All Saints Day, that they might come to our aid and help us become the church, become the people, even become the humanity that God created us to be. Because we know that through their intercession, we receive God's assistance and we receive help.